Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon titled The House of God. The scripture comes from 2 Samuel 7:16.
Where do you go to encounter God? Where do you go for a sense of the divine? Where do you go for that place where you know that you are in connection with that which is greater than you? That's a serious question, and I've been thinking about it a lot, particularly with today's passage, because today's passage that we have already heard had to do with David, and he wants to build a temple. He wants to build a place of encounter, a house of God. And I have to tell you, I'm a little ambivalent about this passage. I'm ambivalent in one part because this could either be the most critical and important subject of the day, or it could be completely irrelevant. And we've been on both sides of that. Let me explain. Where do you go to encounter God? And some people, including myself, would point to this place or places like it. But for some of us, no, this place, that this place was built as a house of God. This was meant to be an encountering place. And some of us were fortunate enough to be here when this place was being built. And I can tell you that we know things that other people don't know, that behind the drywall of every place on here are prayers that were written in anticipation of the encounters that people would have when they came here. There are Bible verses underneath the floor on which I am standing right now and under most of the pews, in anticipation of the encountering. And there was something that's sacred and holy about that, walking into such a place, that this place is indeed a place of encounter. There are places when it's a baptism and our hearts melt, or a wedding, or our hearts break during a funeral, a memorial service. There's something amazing about communion. There's something incredible about and connective when we are all singing and it fills the room and fills our hearts. There's something completely divine about a Christmas Eve and where we have candles and we're singing. I think one of the hardest things about this type of year is the prospect of going into a season where this is such an important place of connection, and to know that that won't be available this year, certainly not in the same way. So yes, here's one of those places, but I also know that when I say that, where do you encounter God? For some, it would be anywhere but here. Anywhere but here and places like here. For every person who could say this was a place of great healing for me, there are others who will say, no, this is a place of great harm. This is a place of great danger. There's a lot of abuse that has been perpetrated in places like this. For every person who can say that this was an inspiring place, others would say, ugh, this is duller than dull. I was bored out of my mind. For some, this is a place of great connection, and others could say this is a place of just great distraction. I mean, no less than C.S. Lewis in his wickedly funny and a little bit too much on the nose book, The Great Divorce, talked about church as that place, and the advice of one demon to another is to get somebody to a church because they'll get distracted. They're coming for a place of encounter, but don't worry, they'll soon get distracted by the cologne that the person next to them is using, or the voice that's off key with the hymn that's being sung, or the mannerisms of the minister, or the known hypocrisy of the person who's sitting over there, that just because you're in this place doesn't mean anything. This is a place to be endlessly distracted and you can miss the point. And it happens. This is a place for some that is a place of welcome. And of course, this is a place for some that has been a place of rejection. Or when hospitality was expected, they were met with indifference or hostility. So yeah, I'm ambivalent about this today. I'm ambivalent about the subject of sanctuary, of temple, even as I am riveted to this idea of how do we help people encounter God. Now, some of this ambivalence is built in. It's built into the nature of this thing. This is a physical structure that has that is trying to point to spiritual realities, and so that of course is problematic. But there's a deeper ambivalence that's in this passage. This passage has some ambivalence with God coming to David through Nathan, saying, "So you're going to build me a house?" And there's this playfulness that's in this passage. It's like, you know, did I ask for you to build me a house? If we knew Hebrew better, we would know that there is some incredible wordplay that's going back and forth as part of this playfulness. And all I will just say is that when we use the word dwelling, and when we use the word tabernacle, and we use the word house, and we even use the word dynasty, it's all the same word that's getting used in different formats. And you're going to build me a house, but I'm going to build you a house. And I tabernacled, I dwelt with you in the tabernacle in the wilderness. And now I'm going to tabernacle with you in the future. And in your future, you're going to build me a house. Somebody in your line is indeed going to build a temple. But the reason that's going to happen at all is because you even have a future. You even have a dynasty or where I am dwelling. The house of David is there because of what I am doing. And it just kind of goes back and forth as a way of playing with this idea of, really, you are going to do this for me? Because the point in this passage is to underline that it's not about what we are going to do for God. It's about trusting in what God already has done, recognizing what God has done, and then trusting for what God is yet to do. It's in that trust, it's in that relationship of trust that the presence of God is made manifest. On the one hand, we can say that God is now here. Or we can say that God is nowhere. And it's the same phrase, it's just where you put the space. And a sanctuary, a temple, is a way of helping us create the space so that we can say that God is now here. But if we can't do that in a way so that I begin to see differently, then God is nowhere. If God isn't here right now, right here with us in this moment, in this place of trial and tribulation, if God isn't here with us in this time of adversity, then God really is nowhere. No matter how many big houses and cathedrals and temples you build, it is to convey the presence of God right here and right now. It is create a space, because the question is not whether or not God is present. God is tabernacling with us. The real question is whether or not we are present to God, whether we are open to the presence of God, whether we are the people who can open ourselves to who God is and what God is yet to do. Our buildings can help. At their very best, they can help. I've told the story before of a youth group down at the Air Force Academy many years ago, and walking in, and the one student behind me was talking with his friend back and forth and back and forth, and just completely oblivious to where they were until we were about halfway in. And if you've ever been there, you know this place. And suddenly I hear this, and it stops. And then I hear, "Oh my God." And I turned around and I said, "Exactly, exactly." That's what they were hoping you would say when they built this place. They were hoping that this would be an encounter, that the architecture, they would create a space where you could go, "God is now here." At their best, they do that. At their worst, these are places that make people more insulated from one another. More insulated from the presence of God, where God is only present in this one little place, at this one little time, with this one little people. And it becomes more and more narrow and more restrictive. And therefore, we become more and more fearful. So God is nowhere. When we open it up, we get to have this sense of God's presence, not only here, but then everywhere. The real test of a sanctuary, of any house of worship, is not just what people say when they walk in, but when they walk out. It's when they walk out and people are able to say, oh my God, because this has been a place of encounter. This has been a place of where we have found trust, where we have found a sense of wonder. We have connected with the divine. This has been a place of welcome. This has been a place of generosity. This inspires and makes me larger. I see God differently. I see the world differently. I see myself differently. David got it right when he recognized that there had been a lot of attention to his own house and their own comfort and their own security, but there had been under-attentiveness to the things of God. He thought the issue was a physical building, and that can be part of the answer, but he's really pointing to, I think, something that's a deeper truth, that for a lot of people, that we are overdeveloped. We have overdeveloped brains, and we have overdeveloped sense of security and accomplishment. We have underdeveloped souls. The real place where God dwells is here. It's in this place, it's in the heart, that the real place of development is not necessarily a physical building. That's absurd. But all of that is to help point to the tabernacle of the heart. The dwelling place, the sanctuary of the soul. And so David was right that we need to pay more attention, because the places where God dwells has become shabby if we have paid attention to all other aspects of our life but have forgotten to develop this. And so what is needed is indeed a building project, but not a building of that is physical, but paying attention. How do you build your heart? How do you enlarge the sanctuary of your own soul? For years, I have been fascinated by this, because how do we grow people's souls is at the heart of what I find incredibly, not only just fascinating, but critical, absolutely relevant. How do you do that? And I have come to believe over the years that one of those things is the practices that we use to build this heart out, to make ourselves better able to recognize and respond to God. This is what needs the work, and practices, or we sometimes call the habits of hope. It's part of what some we call the way of hope, and it's a way of building our strengths, certain strengths, core strengths that we need to have, and the practices that we use to build them. And I want to come back to that, because I've been tweaking those things since the pandemic and wondering, how is it that we do that? One of our practices, of course, is that we come to church, and that's a fine practice. But what happens when you can't come to church, when you can't physically be with one another? Does that mean all that stops? Not at all. It means we get to shift our focus from the outside to the inside. And so this week I posted in our Saturday and our Wednesday online newsletters, and you might want to go back and look at that. In fact, I invite you to go back and look at that. And if you're wondering what that is and don't get that, you can email us and we will send you the link, and you can be part of that, because there is this habit, and I'm calling it daily grace, and it's five things to do during the day. And all I want to do is focus on the first two, the G and the R. How do you ground yourself in the reality of the living God, the loving presence of God, and in the rejoicing? And how do you do that? Because everybody I know knows that that's important. Nobody ever disagrees with me on that. No one ever fights me that they don't need more time with that. But usually it's because I don't have enough time to do that, or I'm not spiritual enough, and I just haven't found that to be the issue. So what I put together was this. I put together some things that I think are going to help build the sanctuary of our soul. And they're simple. They're supposed to be basic habits. And you can do them in about 5 minutes. In fact, I say you can do it about the time you drink your morning cup of coffee, or maybe your first one. And it's by paying attention to those things that we begin to build out a place of encounter. That from this place, from this inner sanctuary, this tabernacle of our heart, now we begin to call this the dwelling place of God, and more that becomes true, so that when we go out into our world, we are able to say, oh my God, this is God's world, and I'm in it. That this becomes a place of of welcome. And because of the sanctuary of my soul, I am experiencing more joy, more depth, more connectivity, more wonder, more mystery. I am becoming larger, more generous, more kind, because I have gone to the house of God. I have encountered the living God. This week, may that be true for you. May that be true for us as we go from here to find that place of encounter, the house of God.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace.